The next matter is In Re Interest of Ayla. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Christine Kellogg, Assistant Public Defender, on behalf of the appellant Jessica Rosa. We're appealing the separate juvenile court's order wherein it found that it had jurisdiction under my client's minor child, Marziana Faith Rosa, and then subsequently terminated my client's parental rights over her daughter. In this case, Marziana Faith Rosa was born on February 27, 2009. She was 15 weeks premature, and at the time of the filing of the second supplemental petition on March 18, 2009, she was still in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit. The second supplemental petition alleged that the court had that Marziana fell within the meaning of 43-247-3A because of three counts. One, because my client did not have safe, stable, adequate, and appropriate housing. Two, that my client did not have a legal source of income. And because of those, it placed Marziana Faith Rosa at harm. However, at the adjudication on this petition, which was occurred on June 30th, 2009, and February 12th, 2010, there was no evidence that showed that the housing that my client had was not safe, was not adequate, was not appropriate. From the date that Marziana was discharged from the NICU, visits occurred in the home. The initial assessment worker for the Department of Health and Human Services visited the home of my client the day after the petition was filed and under oath testified that there was no safety concerns with the housing that my client had, which she shared with her mother, who was disabled. Second allegation is that my client did not have a legal source of income. Well, while my client was unemployed, she did have a legal source of income. There was testimony from the initial assessment worker, also from the social worker at the hospital, that my client had applied for WIC, for government assistance, and food stamps, which are all legal sources of income. Also, that she lived with her mother, who received disability checks, and my client was a caregiver for her mother, and they planned on living together. They were able to meet all their monthly bills, and there was no problem with them meeting the needs of Marziana once she was discharged from the hospital. So while, because that was not shown, it was also shown that those did not present a risk of harm for Marziana. Since there was no, without that, the court cannot establish jurisdiction over the minor child. And so, therefore, we do not even move to the second part of the second supplemental petition, wherein the state was moving for termination of parental rights. So without that, the court did not have jurisdiction over it. The petition should have been dismissed, and Marziana would be able to move in with her mother and her maternal grandmother. Even if this court would say that you could establish jurisdiction over Marziana under 43-292-2, that also is not possible. The Nebraska case law, Supreme Court's throughout history has talked about the two-tier system of the juvenile courts. Where in 43-247-3A, the jurisdictional statute belongs to the child. That's where you establish that the minor child is at risk for harm. The second tier is the dispositional phase, where you talk about the rights of the parent. We talk about what we need to establish reunification. And so without getting past that first tier of finding that the minor child is at risk for harm, then we don't even get to the question of whether rights should be terminated.
Counsel, I have a question for you on the adjudication phase. You indicated that the mother had applied for benefits.
Yes.
I understood her testimony was that she had not applied for any benefits.
No, she testified that she had applied. You know, she was not due until April 2009, so when she had gone down to apply, they don't start going through that. She talked with Lauren Mueller, the social worker, about the next process in the stage of how she could get those benefits. She was aware of what she needed to do. But since Mariana was immediately taken from her custody, well, then she's not eligible to apply for those benefits. But she was familiar with the system. Really, what, you know, the state was concerned with, and the only thing that the department stated they were concerned with through the initial assessment worker, was that my client had her rights terminated on her children previously. In October of 2008, her rights were terminated of her six other children. However, from October 2008 until she gave birth in the end of February 2009, the department had no contact with my client. No knowledge of what progress she had been making, no looking into what her current situation was. Her department worker from the previous case talked about how from July of 2008 my client was making progress, but her children had been in the system for so long that it still was deemed in the best interest that her rights be terminated. Well, here she is with a new child. She's no longer in an abusive relationship. She's living with her mother. She's stable. She's given birth to a new child. And before she can even demonstrate where she has come and what she can achieve, the state comes and takes that child from her before she's even released from the intensive care unit. My client was willing to do any services that were offered, but nothing was offered. They went immediately to termination of parental rights. And I would say to this court that is not a precedent we want to state, that any time you've had your rights terminated on previous children, there's no hope that you could ever be a parent in the future. It's not consistent with the rights of, you know, liberty interests and family and due process, and that they make an assumption because you had problems in the past that you cannot parent in the future.
Doesn't the statutory ground under 292 sub 2, though, talk about the lack of providing proper care to siblings? And does that statute then get us past the hurdle of at least grounds for termination in this case?
It would, if jurisdiction was established under 43 to 47 3A, then yes, the amendment to 43-292, subsection 2, where it includes that language, or sibling of said child, yes, then that information does come into play. However, what we have to do at the onset is be concerned with this minor child, and at a minimum, show that that child is at risk for harm. That was not done here.
Well, let's assume, just for purposes of the argument, that we think jurisdiction was established, and then let's move to the termination. What's your best argument here that the court here in terminating your client's parental rights?
Well, Your Honor, we do have the previous order from the other children, so our best argument would go to best interest of Mariana. And that would go back to them not showing the risk of harm, and also the visitation that my client had with her client. It was said to be very appropriate, very beneficial, very knowledgeable. She rarely needed redirection. When she did, she took it well. She had regular contact with her worker, and there was no showing that Mariana was at an age where it was too late or that grounds for reunification was not possible. My client was doing very well. She was stable. She was free of that relationship. The issues that brought her to the court's attention previously were gone, and she now was in a position to parent and demonstrated that to the department and through her testimony. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, if possible.
Counsel, whenever you're ready.
So please, the clerk, Jennifer Clark, Deputy County Attorney for Douglas County, here on behalf of the state of Nebraska, in regards to MH Stabela R, as pertains to Marciana Faith Rosa and her mother. I would ask this court to affirm the juvenile court's finding that the minor child does fall within the subdivision 43-247-3A under the jurisdiction of the court, and therefore the court did have jurisdiction at that time. At the same time, they did in fact go to immediate disposition in regards to...
Before you get to termination, what was the evidence that you think justifies or supports the 3A adjudication?
Well, Your Honor, there was several individuals who testified that the mother acknowledged she did not have a legal source of income. She did not have any source of income whatsoever. The mother even got on the stand and even testified that she had not had a job since December of 2008, and that job actually she only had for a few months. The only ability that she could even provide for the child was dependent on her disabled mother. That in itself was supposedly the safe, suitable, appropriate housing that she had. However, I would argue to the court that it is not a stable housing for this minor child. A, it is not the mother's housing. She is with her mother who is disabled. She is relying on her mother's disability that she receives from SSI in order to pay for that housing. Therefore, she has no control over whether or not that housing is lost. So in my argument would be that that is not appropriate, it is not stable for that minor child due to the fact that the mother did not have any control over she wasn't on the lease, she wasn't providing any type of money for it. So essentially, if the mother had to be removed from that house, she would not have a place to go. So it was not safe and it was not appropriate. As part of the testimony that was brought forth, there actually was a point in time where visits had to be removed from that residence due to the fact that there was no heat and there was no running water. So again, it was not an appropriate place, especially for an infant. So I would state that the mother showed no evidence whatsoever that she had the ability to financially provide for this child. She had no ability to provide for a residence for this child. She even stated, during the course of the testimony, first having Laura Mueller testify, she was with Creighton University was actually the social worker who filed the affidavit with the court. It wasn't the Department of Health and Human Services. It was actually the social worker at Creighton who was very concerned about this mother. The mother was stating that she didn't understand why rights were terminated. She was not prepared for this child's birth. And actually, 3 weeks later, when Daniel Schmidt from the child that was doing the initial assessment for Ms. Rosa, the mother still at that time had not been able to go out and get anything for the minor child. It had been 3 weeks since this child had been born. She didn't even have the child with her, yet she still had not gone out and made any effort or any showing that she was able to provide for this child but going to be getting anything for the child. So I would submit to the court that there was a lot of evidence to show that this mother was not ready for